Wisdom often seems elusive. How many moments, maybe even per week, that you and I experience something we've been trying to avoid, and we quietly say to ourselves, I've got to be smarter than this. But it isn't all about smarts, is it? It's also not just about knowledge. Wisdom is a blended application of intellect, knowledge, experience, and a number of other ingredients to the longer arc of life's realities. The sources of those ingredients will go a long way, play an enormous role in determining if anyone actually arrives at that destination of wisdom at the end of the process. As we read the Old Testament lesson for today, recognize it's from Proverbs. Recognize that it is intended to have us understanding that wisdom itself is available to us with an invitation to eat and to drink deeply of its truth, of its promise. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." The word. I had a memorable life experience back in the early 1990s. There was a pastor who was called by our church body to be the mentor to young pastors who were working in exploratory missionary type settings. His position was called a mission counselor. They still exist now, and they're regional across the country. But he took a gaggle of almost 30-something young pastors, 30 years of age, and gathered us a little bit south of where I was living at the time at a conference center where the topic of the day was life management and professional management. Basically, it was intended to be a corporate retreat for the secular world where everybody gathered to help the youngsters understand the work-life balance better as you're setting the tone for your life as a professional. The keynote presenter, who also was the force behind the entire conference, was someone who was quite popular at the time. Everybody would have recognized the name on radio, on television, writing articles in newspapers, that was before the internet, and all kinds of ways that he had built the platform of his expertise. Just so happened that at one of the breaks of this conference, the group of us, along with our pastor mentor, happened to get on an elevator where the keynote speaker was also making his way up to a recreational area. And without letting on what he did for a living or how he was thinking about things, our mentor complimented the man on just how much depth and variety to wisdom that he was hearing in the presentation, coming from an old guy, as he would have put it. And then he chose to add a little dimension to the conversation again, without revealing where he stood on things. He said, "It seems to me that a lot of what I'm hearing almost echoes verses from the book of Proverbs in the scripture." And with a gentle smile and a quick response, the presenter quietly said, "Where do you think all that information came from?" Now, I don't know to this day whether that man, who is still famous, you would still recognize the name, has ever publicly professed any connection to Christianity, any saving faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. But he was somebody recognized throughout our country and through much of the English-speaking world as somebody who had gained a lot of wisdom in life and was a good source to draw that wisdom from. And he wasn't telling anybody where he had gotten his wisdom from openly and publicly, possibly because it would have been rejected on its face just because it came from the Bible. But you and I learn a very valuable lesson about the invitation that's in front of us today through that life experience of mine, that there are a lot of people who don't know what source their wisdom comes from and yet are following scriptural wisdom. They don't have the appropriate motivation for it if they're not connected to the Word and Christ through the Word, and yet the wisdom itself that's available to us here plays itself out in our lives day by day, moment by moment, relationship by relationship, choice by choice. And yet words here challenge you and me as we live in the world in which we live every day that sees people who turn to the scriptures for wisdom as simple, as those who have no sense. I mean, you hear wisdom speaking those words and you say to yourself, now wait a minute. I mean, in any other given area of life, if somebody kind of started a conversation that way, telling you, you don't have your act together, that's clear, anybody can see it. There are moments where you're just downright foolish and simple and have no sense, but come to me and I'll spread out in front of you a banquet of so much wisdom, so much life-guiding information that's proven through experience to work, that you'll just keep digging in and coming back over and over again, and you'll never find this information, this wisdom, wanting. It will always console you. It will always encourage you. It will always shape you. But just reading these words, we also recognize another element of that wisdom that the world will so often just quickly turn away from. Dame Wisdom, however you see that here, understand that it is, in essence, the Word that would become flesh speaking to you from this portion of the Scripture through another Scripture writer's mouth and pen, trying to help you understand that before you can truly benefit from everything God tells you, first you have to see yourself the way God sees you. And that's hard. It's hard to see yourself as simple. It's hard to see yourself as having no sense and needing all kinds of guidance. And yet, if we turn that mirror around and look in it for ourselves, the Word of God makes it clear to us on so many fronts, so many different elements of who we are and how we go about our lives, why we come to those moments over and over again where we say to ourselves quietly, maybe never over our breath, but always under so that no one else will hear, I've got to be smarter than this. We all have those moments. We have them every day. We have them often. We keep doing things we don't want to do. Just like Paul talks about in Romans 7, the sinful things we don't want to do, those things we keep doing. The things that we know are good and righteous and beneficial to ourselves and others, we can't get ourselves to consistently do any of those things. And Paul labels it for what it is. When he puts that circumstance out in front of us, he cries out, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to rescue me from this folly, this living that makes no sense? In essence, this wretchedness, he calls it. It's one of the biggest challenges of hearing what the Bible wants to tell us and not having it actually push us away. It requires humility. It requires honesty. It requires an acknowledgement that there is a wisdom different from any wisdom we can pursue through any avenue that is solely of human making. You can find the smartest person in the world. You can find the wisest person that you've ever known in your life. And you can ask them every single question that's on your heart and mind, and they will never be able to reach, even come close to reaching, the answers to the life dilemmas that the wisdom of the Scripture places in front of you, that is willing to literally stamp on you if you come to know and see the righteousness of God as the wisdom of God making a choice before the creation of the world to enter into His creation as a creature. You think about the greatest need of every human heart, the reason we are simple and have no sense, is our brokenness that leads to a self-interest, a self-awareness, a selfishness that just cannot clear itself from being completely subservient to anything or anyone else on its own. But it is the promise of God, it is the wisdom of God that makes that clean break for us. By God coming into our world to face all of that, to live all of that, to experience all of that, and to conquer all of that, so that He can stamp you and I as righteous, not because of anything we're doing, thinking we're only simple with only foolish, senseless things in front of us by our own choosing. But He turns all of that around profoundly and completely. That's what Jesus is trying to help us understand in the gospel lesson as He speaks to us today there also. This idea that everything we need for sustenance, everything we need spiritually, physically, intellectually, emotionally, everything that we truly need to be everything God created a human being to do, be, is not available to us apart from the connection to Him, the Creator, in His Word, through His Word and sacraments. And so it becomes a vital reality that on our own we're simple and foolish until we have a direct connection to that vine of which we are the branches. And when we are connected, we will produce much fruit. So, how do you and I go about that? Well, there are some really simple ways. Even if you were to take what has been defined as like the most historic average reality of Christians throughout time, if you were to just dedicate some time once a week, Sunday morning, Thursday evening, Saturday, late afternoon, whatever it might be, but dedicate some time every week to gather with God's people to hear His Word, there's some interesting math involved in that. I'll never forget the first time I heard a professor lay this out. If you grew up in a family that goes to church every week, and you happen to belong to a congregation that cycles through the historic liturgical lessons of Scripture, with an Old Testament lesson, a New Testament epistle lesson, a gospel lesson, a psalm, an acclamation verse included, and cycles through all of that over 3 years' time, and you're there participating every Sunday. By the time you reach 40 years old, even though it's been very passive, you have spent as much time in the Word as somebody arriving at the appropriate graduation for a master's in theology. It can be that simple. And that wisdom of God is going to wash over you, and it's going to change you and shape you and help you be who God intends you to be in the service of others and in service to your Savior on a daily basis. But then that's not going to come even close to everything that's being offered to you here in this feast of food and drink that is the wisdom of the Word. Let's just ratchet it up a tiny little bit. Let's add Advent services and Lenten services and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Let's add Monday, Thursday, and two services on Good Friday and an Easter experience that takes all that's available and unique from any of the services available to you. And let's walk through an entire year, if not the whole non-festival half of the church year that we're in right now, at least from the first Sunday of Advent through the day of Pentecost. And let's take every single step with Jesus and let's listen and see the differentiation and nuances of everything that's presented to us day by day, event by event, lesson by lesson. If you've never had the experience, if you've never actually processed all of that with Jesus, I guarantee you, it changes you, it changes your faith, it changes your understanding, and it points you to the wisdom of what's in front of you and the folly of your everyday without any of that. But still, that's only another little click up. When it's all said and done, the Bible study this morning leaned into this a little bit too. We're told by many of the giants, of the theologians of Christianity that have come before us over the centuries, that the Christian life is a daily walk of repentance and devotion, time spent in the Word, being broken down by the Word so that it points to our sins and leaves us desperate for God's intervention, God's gift of grace, God's declaration of unconditional forgiveness and never-ending love and commitment to us, so that we have the ability day by day, situation to situation, to change the language of our self-talk from "I've got to be smarter than this" to "I know better than this because God has taught me better than this." And it changes our perspective away from what we are failing to do to what God will do and can do and has promised that He will do through us when we're following Him, listening to Him, shaping ourselves by the Word and the wisdom that we have here. And so it becomes a very practical thing. And it all builds off of this idea of the abundance of everything God is preparing for us. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. We bang our heads against so many things so very often. And yet so often we just recalibrate back to things that are just a little different, if any different, from what we've done before because that's what's comfortable. Now, if that's not foolish, if that makes no sense, then what's wrong with hearing an invitation like this and trying something new on for size? Taking a seat at the table of the Word and the sacrament. Taking a seat at the feast of the wisdom of our God together. Individually, day by day, and times of the week where we meet around the Word like this. And not test God, test Dame Wisdom, to see who really is foolish and who really is wise. Who really has answers and who only sends us sideways into other elements of darkness that just make things more difficult and confusing. God's wisdom is clear. The results of that wisdom are equally clear. Forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ, who has given it to us as a gift, and a life with God forever, where we won't have to have lessons in wisdom, because in eternity we will know God and know His will and His word like Adam and Eve did before the fall into sin. It will be perfect. It will be flawless. It will be peace and light and joy and fulfillment in every way that we desire it and pursue it but can never find it here. So are you ready? Are you ready to leave the simple behind? The invitation is clear. It's simple. God's happy to do the rest. Amen. Please stand. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.